And you are listening to Law and Gospel on KFUO Worldwide Radio on this Thursday, June the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2014. Normally, this is a Ruminations Day when we would have Pastor Wes Reimnitz with us, but he's still going to be with us, but he was unable to talk about ruminations because he's teaching Vacation Bible School in Havana, Illinois. So instead, we're going to be talking to him and the students. We are not going to be taking calls during this broadcast. If you want to talk about Vacation Bible School or what some of the students say, then we'll be glad to take them tomorrow on Open Mic Friday. So without further ado, let me introduce Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, but how are you doing surrounded by Vacation Bible School students?
Oh, we're surviving. Just a moment. Can you tell Pastor Tom good morning?
Good morning, Pastor Tom.
Boy, that's really nice. I don't even get that from my wife. Hey, okay. So what do you plan on dealing with? I understand the Vacation Bible School is Gangway to Galilee, and I took a look at it in the CPH on the website. This is available for any church, and it's also in Spanish. But why do they call it Gangway to Galilee, Wes?
Well, what they did this year with the theme, Gangway to Galilee, is they took Bible lessons that all go around the Sea of Galilee or somehow connect with fishing or Jesus talking to the people on the beaches. Just excellent material. My VBS director, Michelle Brown, went out and picked it. She's a 15-year veteran, and this year she not only did she like the series that Concordia Publishing House put out, but one of the features of it is memory work. They have them learn Bible passages from the scriptures.
Okay, let's have the class together. Let's have them say the whole book of Revelation. Are they ready?
The whole book of Revelation. We didn't memorize the book.
I see. Okay, so right. Okay, how would you like to do this? It seems like the story is about Jesus walking on the water, and Peter, seeing him, he begins to walk on the water, but then he becomes afraid and sinks, and Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith." And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." What kind of questions would the students like to answer in light of that, Wes?
Well, we'll go through the questions with each one, because they've got some particular ones. Like in the Bible story, it talks about a watch. The fourth watch. And what is a watch? Krista, can you tell us what a watch is?
Roman soldiers divided the night guard into watches of 3 hours each in length.
So a watch was 3 hours in length. James, can you tell us what is that fourth watch that's in the story?
The fourth watch was from 3 to 6 a.m.
Okay. Oh, so a watch isn't something they wore on their wrist?
We already went through that, didn't we?
You did. Yeah. It'd be kind of odd to see somebody with four watches on his arm. So yeah, a watch is kind of a period of guarding where the Roman soldiers, you know, the day was divided into 3 hours each in length.
Right. And that's what they were talking about. And the fourth watch was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
So this was at night when Jesus walked on the water?
That's what it said we're covering Matthew 14:22-33, and that's what it writes there in Matthew chapter 14.
Okay. What's the next question?
Kevin, when did Peter start to sink?
When he looked away from Jesus and doubted.
Okay. When he took his eyes away from Jesus and he started to doubt. Next we have Isaac Snyder, who's going to tell us, what did Jesus do when Peter started to sink?
Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and took hold of Peter and saved him.
Okay, so when Peter cried out, Jesus went in and took care of him. And Jesse, Jesselyn, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go by Jesse. And you tell us then, what did the disciples do when Jesus entered the boat?
They worshiped Jesus and said, "You certainly are God's son."
So there you go. You know, the miracle of Peter being saved when he cried out to Jesus, and then when the disciples saw all these things, they believed and they worshiped him.
Well, before you go on, there's no doubt Concordia Publishing House materials, because I do the Sunday school lesson on Mondays on issues, etc. It has a lot of law and gospel in it. Was there any law and gospel that was taught in this particular lesson?
Yes, it was. In fact, all through the lessons in the pastor materials, they lay out the law gospel options, and these are things that pastors can spend some time with the VBS teachers and queuing up law gospel.
Are the students aware of the law and gospel in this? Can you ask a question there?
Sure we can. Terza, can you tell us what the law of the Bible is?
The law of the Bible says, "And I sin in my life, and when I look away from Jesus, I sink in unbelief."
So that was kind of the law that we learned from the Peter looking away from Jesus and doubting in unbelief, so to speak. Kevin, let's see, it's Jesse. We're back to Jesse. Can you tell us what the gospel of the Bible says?
The gospel of the Bible says, "Jesus' faith, hands grab me up, forgives me by grace through faith."
So Jesus' faithful hands grabs us up, and by faith through grace in Jesus, we are saved. So that was kind of the gospel of the day that we had.
So the law says what's wrong, and the gospel says what? How God corrects it?
How God saves us through Jesus.
Yes. Excellent.
The other day, so we had a question that came up about sinner and saint from God's law. Krista, could you tell us what the law says to us?
The law in the Bible shows us our sins.
Okay. And Kevin, can you tell us what the gospel does?
The gospel in the Bible shows us our Savior.
Okay.
So that's kind of an SOS.
It's an SOS.
Shows our sins, shows our Savior.
Yep. But also, Grace had a question for you.
Pastor Tom, can you tell us more about the sinner and saint that we are?
Yes, I can say something about it. In fact, you already said it pretty well in what you were speaking of. A sinner becomes a sinner when we look away from Jesus. A saint is that part of us that looks to Jesus. And you see, you have two parts of you. This is found in Romans chapter 7. You have an old man that always wants to sin, and you have a new man that never sins. The new man, of course, in you is Jesus, and that particularly is received through faith. It's really important to understand. Let me ask the kids this question. Can you ever do a good work without sin? Anybody want to try and answer that?
Okay. Jesse, you want to give it a try? She wants the question again.
Can you ever do a good work without sinning?
I don't think you can.
Very good. In other words, you can do good works by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's called fruit of the faith. But the old man always has an ulterior motive. For example, when Wes was talking about having you folks on the radio, I had a new man motivation and an old man motivation. My new man was, I know how good Wes is a teacher, so I knew the listening audience is going to hear some great law and gospel. But my old man is thinking, boy, people are really going to like hearing these kids, and I may start getting more listeners because I'm having this program. You see how the second motivation was really something that I wanted. It was a self-motivation rather than a motivation for others. And that's why every time you do a good work, the old man in you, the old Adam, always has a sinful motivation. And sometimes you're not even aware of it.
Very good. Yeah. No, and that's what we've been learning about. It was a different concept. How can I be sinner and saint at the same time?
Give the we've got Peter. How is he saint and then sinner in the story?
Oh, in the story, what Peter is a sinner and a saint. Does anybody want to try and figure out why how he was a sinner?
Oh,
great.
He was a sinner because he doubted Jesus as being the person that was walking on the water. He didn't believe that it was really Jesus.
Well, but where did he look?
He
looked away.
He looked away and he doubted Jesus.
He took his eyes off of Jesus, didn't he? Right. Well, where's the gospel then? You know, with Peter as a saint, what did he do then? James.
He tried to forgive himself.
Well, he can't forgive himself. That was good.
He asked for forgiveness from Jesus.
Well, how did he kind of ask for forgiveness? What did he refocus his?
Save me,
yes. He looked to Jesus and cried out, save me. And what did Jesus do then? Jesse?
He said, peace be still.
Well, that was yesterday.
Oh.
Yesterday we said, peace be still. What did Jesus do?
He stretched out his hand and lifted Peter up.
There you go. He stretched out his hand and lifted up Peter.
You know, that's a really important point what they're making here, because the reason we normally sin, we just look at what's going on around us. We have sinful thoughts, sinful desires. We want to get more out of life. But when we look to Jesus and we ask him to save us from these temptations, a lot of times we don't know how Jesus is going to do that. But by just looking to him and asking to save us, then what happens is we remember a Bible verse, call me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. That's a promise that Jesus has for you. And so when you're a believer, you are now a member of the family of God. Now, you mentioned, Wes, that there was some memory work that some of them had done. Do you have any verses they'd like to say?
Okay. Isaac, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8.
For by grace you have been saved through faith.
Okay.
Now, that's a really important Bible verse. What we want to remember, kids, is that when we're talking about through faith, you're not saved by your faith. What are you saved by?
Grace.
You're saved by Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's why we're called theologians of the cross. But God has to transfer all the benefits Jesus won for you on the cross, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and he transfers it over to you by giving you faith. That means trusting his promise that he is your Savior. And when you trust that, then you receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And that's why that Ephesians 2, 8 passage is so important, that we're not saved by our works. We don't want to be boasting about how good we are, but we're saved because how good Jesus was. Any other memory work that anybody might remember?
Well, you know, this coming Sunday is Trinity Sunday, and one of the lessons that we're going to cover is John chapter 3. Chris is going to read John 3:16 for us.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Yes, this is why you need a pastor like Wes Reimnitz, because there's different words in the original Greek for the word love. One of the words for love simply means you love something because you selfishly want it. Like, let's say you want a motorcycle and you don't care what anybody else thinks and you demand it from your parents. That word love would mean you're loving them out of selfishness. The other word for love is you love them because they're your neighbor. For example, it's phileo, where, what word do we, what city is that, Wes?
Phileo is Philadelphia.
That's right. And it's the city of
brotherly love.
That would mean that God only loves you when you become a member of his family. But that's not the word used either. The Greek word that Jesus uses for God so loved the world, what is that Greek word, Wes?
Agape.
And that is a unselfish, sacrificial love. God gets nothing out of it for himself. He gives everything to you. And so you never have to question whether God loves you, because he loves you even when you were an unbeliever, even when you were his enemy. And that is shown by giving his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. So you always need to be attending a Bible study. And we're so happy to hear you're at Vacation Bible School with Wes Reimnitz teaching, because he can give you understandings that you don't see right away from the English language. And John 3:16 is a good example of that. Any other verses or any other questions that they might have, Wes?
Well, one more verse before we get to the next question.
Okay.
Jesse, Isaiah 43, verse 1. Yeah, that.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
Yes, and there's another word. Now, this is in the Hebrew, the word redeem. When I was a kid your age, I always enjoyed redeeming green stamps that you got when you went to gasoline stations. And I remember if you could get 50 books, you got a free television. Of course, it took like 6 months to get one book. But I remember telling my dad, we were driving to Florida, and I said, make sure you stop at gas stations where they give these green stamps out. And guess what? He ran out of gas. So the rest of the trip, we weren't stopping at any gas station that had green stamps. But redeem means to buy you out of slavery. You were slaves to the devil when you were born. You were in his kingdom. But when God provided you with faith, then he brought you out of the devil's kingdom, and now you're in the kingdom of God on earth, which we call the Holy Christian Church. So that Isaiah passage talks about how God saves you. He doesn't save you because you get good enough to be saved. You're never, as an unbeliever, good enough to be saved. But he saves you because God is good enough to redeem you, and he buys you out of slavery by giving his self, his death, so that you don't ever have to die eternally.
Okay. You know, this is being Trinity Sunday, you know, questions are coming from the household about the Trinity. Grace, you had something you wanted to ask Tom.
So are there like three small gods that form one huge God? Because it's like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and and are there like three of them that form one huge God? Or are they all like three separate ones?
That's really a good question, and that's why we believe in Scripture interprets Scripture. I'm going to be preaching about that in the Old Testament. Does the Trinity appear in the Old Testament? And believe it or not, the Holy Trinity appears in the first verses of Genesis. A lot of people don't realize that. But let me read to you what, and we're talking about Genesis chapter 1, the very first. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, in the first three verses, we have the Father, God created the heavens and the earth. We have the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the waters. And the one who says, let there be light, if you go to John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. That's Christmas. And so the Word is Jesus Christ. He's the one that speaks creation into being. And John chapter 1 says, nothing was created that was not created by Jesus Christ. So we end up looking at the Bible that there, we call them three persons, but the Bible is very clear there is only one God. Now, this is a mystery to us where three persons can be one God, but it's also a mystery how Jesus dying on the cross forgives my sins. I don't try to explain it. I simply teach it and believe it through faith in Jesus Christ. There are a few times that the three persons appear in the same event, but they are clearly different. The most famous one is Jesus being baptized in the Jordan. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is standing in the water. God the Father is speaking from the cloud, and God the Holy Spirit is in the form of a dove. And so the church has taught by the creeds there are three persons, but only one God. So there's not three different gods, there's three persons. In fact, when Jesus speaks about the Father, he says, I and the Father are one. And he also talks about the idea that if you see me, you see the Father. Probably the best example to show how God considers one from more than one is when he creates Adam and Eve. He says, when they become married, they will be one. Now, there you have a husband and a wife, but in marriage, they're considered one. And so also the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, but only one. Now, only the second person, Jesus, died on the cross. God the Father did not die. God the Holy Spirit did not die. But Jesus, God the Son, did die for your sins.
Okay, did that answer you, Grace? You got a 10-minute answer in 5 minutes, right?
Yes.
One God, how many persons?
Three.
There you go. You got it. You know. And you talked about it in the baptism is where you see, that's an instance where you see the Trinity. Remember, in the Trinity, you know, God the Father speaks, this is my beloved Son. You know, the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove.
What would help them also, Wes, is how does Jesus talk about the Great Commission?
Oh, the Great Commission. Yeah, when we were baptized, you know, in the name of who? Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father?
The Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Son and the Holy Spirit. There you go. That's another way. In your baptism, you were baptized in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let me ask the children, do they enjoy the Vacation Bible School?
Yeah.
Is that because of the food that you're given?
Other than being with Pastor Rymus, what's your favorite part of Bible class?
Crap.
Crap. They have some pretty cool crafts here.
I like the wreck part. I like when we do the lessons with you.
Oh, the lessons with me. Okay.
What is a craft for today's lesson?
That I don't know. The craft comes in another half hour. Yesterday you made crosses, didn't you?
Yeah, that you hang in your window.
Yeah, a cross that you hang in your window is kind of a clear cross, and then they put beads and other types of things on the cross so that it would shine as you hung it through your window.
Now, I know during our Vacation Bible School, when I was pastor at St. James, we would have almost half the children who were not members of our particular church. Is that also true that you have some folks that are from other churches?
How many belong here at St. Paul's? Raise your hand.
Well, we're on the radio, Wes. We can't see that.
Oh. We got three. Yeah, three and a half, so to speak. The others come from different churches, don't you? Yeah, the others come from different churches, and one we're going to work on getting baptized.
Oh, that would be really wonderful. What do you mean three and a half? You got a Siamese twin there or something?
Well, we got one that won't talk.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, he just got kind of quiet, and He's just kind of in the background here, but we still claim him.
So how long does your vacation Bible school last each day?
Well, we go from about 9 o'clock in the morning till about 11 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
We have time. We have an opening, and at the opening, we have one of our high school students that reads from the ARCH books that Concordia Publishing House puts up, so that the little ones, it kind of settles them down, and then we have singing. We go into our, for my class, we go into our lessons next. Others go off to singing, and then we go sing. So when we get off the air here, we're going to go out and finish up our singing, and then we're going to do our crafts and snacks, and after that rec, and then we can do our closing together. We have a puppet show right at the end that talks about the lesson that they had today, and we bring everything together through a puppet called Doug the Dog and Caleb the Camel.
Wow. Well, I really appreciated speaking with you kids, and I guess I'm going to be there in a few weeks preaching. I preach there occasionally, and if you're there, we'll be glad to say hi to you, and I might have a little gift for each one of you, and if you're not a member of the church, I'll give it to Wes, and maybe he can get it to you. But I sure appreciate this very much, Wes Reimnitz, from St. Paul's in Havana with your Vacation Bible School. Thanks so much for being on the air. Okay, thank you so very much. And that was the Vacation Bible School from St. Paul's, Havana, Illinois. Tomorrow, we're going to be having an open mic Friday. And so you could talk about the Vacation Bible School or anything else that we've spoken of during the week. And if you're interested in getting the Vacation Bible School material for your church from Concordia Publishing House, here's the 800 number. 1-800-325-3040. And it's a wonderful, wonderful study on law and gospel also. I'm Tom Baker then. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.